Welcome to another edition of the Friends with Fantasy Benefits Baseball Podcast Team Preview Editions. I'm your host, Randy Hange, joined as always by Colin Weatherwax. And today we'll be previewing the Toronto Blue Jays, but this is basically going to be a Vlad Jr. appreciation pod. We're not even going to try to hide it. Colin, how's it going?
It's going good. I can't wait to talk about Vlad the whole time. I love me some Vlad.
Yeah, so I mean, there's still some pieces on the Blue Jays here that we're going to talk about, but we're really excited to talk about the outlook here in 2019 for Vlad. Colin, before we get going, hit him with your Twitter handle.
Yeah, you can find me at CWeatherwax13.
And I'm on Twitter at RTH222. Let's get started behind the dish with Danny Jansen, who's a pretty intriguing young bat that made his debut in the second half of last season for the Blue Jays, and good old Russell Martin entering his age 36 season is still hanging around there. Colin, I kind of like Danny Jansen. I mean, he's going off the board right now as the 14th catcher, and I could really see getting a lot of Danny Jansen shares if it stays down there. I mean, the bat's kind of already shown it can hit at the major league level, and as long as the playing time's even remotely there, you got to think Russell Martin would be a trade candidate at some point, being in the final year of his deal. Then the playing time could really boost up for Jansen, especially in the second half. Where are you at on Danny Jansen going into 2019?
I love him. I do not like the situation with his backup. Like you said, Russell Martin being there kind of handicaps his fantasy outlook for now. One of the things that the Blue Jays showed last year is they will play Russell Martin at third. And right now their starting third baseman is slotted to be Brandon Drury. We all know who that should be, but doesn't mean that that's who it will be. So if, you know, Martin can slide in at third base whenever Drury goes on the DL, which is inevitable, or they still have the possibility to buy him out or ship him to another club, which would be great for Danny Jansen's value. But I'm with you. I've taken a few shares of him in my best balls so far, just hoping for the playing time, because at the end of the day, that's really all you need at the catcher position. Once you get past the first couple guys, it's basically who's going to get me the most playing time, and that's who's going to help you out.
Yeah, I totally agree. I could see at the beginning of the season it getting a little frustrating with them playing Martin. You know, if you're in a shower league, one catcher league, it might be frustrating to hold on to Jansen, especially if he's not playing right away. But in two catcher leagues or 15 teams, I think Jansen's a really nice buy right now. There's a good walk rate there. Steamer even has him projected for a 108 WRC+, which is in what's going to be his rookie season, which is really nice to see. So if Jansen's price stays as basically, you know, one of the last one or two catcher ones, or even as a catcher two, I'm going to be owning a lot of Danny Jansen this season. Let's move up the baseline here. We have Justin Smoke, who came back down to earth a little bit in 2018. Kendrys Morales is still there. He's not going to have first base eligibility this season. He'll most likely be the DH, but he may end up sneaking in enough games to get first base eligibility in season. Are you interested at all in Justin Smoke or Kendrys Morales as anything other than a corner in a mixed, or your first baseman in an AL only?
No, that's probably, you know, where it's going to be for me. I do like the discount that there is this year for Justin Smoke. I hated him last year with his ADP going in the TGFBI around pick number 130. So getting that discount this year, he's going pretty much almost free. He's the 23rd first baseman right before Peter Alonso, going off the board around 240. So getting that discount, there is the possibility for playing time. He has shown the power in the past, and you're not really paying for it this year. So that's something to keep an eye on. He's scheduled to bat third. So he's definitely not, you know, a throwaway position at your corner infield. And neither is Kendrys Morales. I mean, we saw later in the year last year how dominant he was. I mean, he had 7 or 8 home runs in like a week or two span. So as long as he stays there, even if he gets moved to a situation that's better for him, he's playing DH, which is the only position that he can play. So, yeah, I mean, both of them are viable corner infield spots. And if you punt the position, which, you know, once you get past the first 10 guys in the first baseman, it gets really, really scarce really quick. So, you know, you might be able to force one of them into your 15-team first baseman slot, but it's not the worst thing that could happen.
Yeah, I mean, Smoke, like you said, is a nice option if you're punting first base. And, you know, Morales is not having a position fantasy-wise does kind of scare some owners away, but he's not even being drafted in all leagues right now, which is understandable for a guy of his age and just as long as he's been around. But like you said, he really got hot last year, and he's somebody that when the health is there and his feet are working properly, I mean, he can really hit, and he's somebody that could easily be a hot pickup in the first couple of weeks if he comes out of the gate swinging a nice bat. So keep an eye on Kendrys Morales this season. Don't just completely ignore him. Maybe throw him on the end of your bench, or if he goes undrafted and you see he gets off to a hot start, he could easily find your way onto mixed league radars. Another guy that's possible for get some at bats, maybe not right away, but definitely as the season goes along, if someone like a Morales or a Smoke gets traded, is Rowdy Tellez. I know someone you're pretty high on. Tell me a little bit about Rowdy Tellez going into 2019.
Yeah, I love Rowdy Tellez. In the deeper league, most of our analysis is coming based off like a 15-team league. And at the end of my bench, I'm willing to stash Tellez. It's kind of like in this situation last year where I was willing to stash Teoscar Hernandez, who we'll touch on a little bit later. And then he got called up right away after the first couple weeks in the season. I could see that happening, especially because we still have a lot of offseason to play out. So one of those guys that you mentioned could get moved. And if so, then he should have an everyday role at either first base or DH. So he's a guy that you stash now if you're doing best balls at the end of your bench and just hope that it pays off, because he has a lot of power potential. He showed it last year in his brief stint. So he's a guy that you should stash as well.
Yeah, Tellez is interesting. He shouldn't be on your redraft radar pretty much at all. He's somebody that maybe once the season starts and he starts the season off in AAA, that he could maybe be a semi-buy low in a dynasty league or a keeper league. That's really all Tellez is going to be for at the start of the season. But keep him in mind. Keep him on your watch list in your deeper leagues. At second base, it's going to be Devin Travis, assuming he can stay healthy again. Are the Devin Travis truthers finally going to go away for good this season?
Yeah, they should. I mean, he needs to stay healthy, and if he stays healthy, he's going to get you the average, maybe 10 home runs, maybe 10 steals. So it's okay for a middle infielder, but the problem is he just can't stay healthy. He can't be out there long enough to contribute for your team. So that's the only thing that's wrong with Devin Travis.
Yeah, I mean, the walk rate is just never established in the major leagues. There's not a lot of power there. I mean, and that's even on top of the health. I mean, he's never played more than 103 games in a season. I mean, it's just almost comical at this point with Devin Travis. I remember in his heading into 2017, a good friend of mine that I play in a home league with was all about Devin Travis, pumping him up before the season. And he made a bet with me that he would finish as a top 12 second baseman that year, and I gladly took the bet. And that was the year Travis only played 50 games, so I think he finished as like the 45th second baseman or something. It just wasn't even close. But like I said, I know even coming into last year when the season started, there were still some Devin Travis backers, but I think they've finally gone away, and you can finally forget about Devin Travis on your mixed league teams. His shortstop is projected to be Lourdes Gurriel Jr., who's someone that had a nice hot stretch last season. Injuries kind of tailed him off a little bit. I'm not the biggest Gurriel guy. I was waiting for it to tail off, and it eventually did. Injuries, obviously, were a part of that. Is Gurriel somebody that you're buying into as anything more than a middle? Could he be a top 12 shortstop this year?
No, for me, he's definitely a middle option, your middle infield slot. Like you said, he had a hot stretch last year. The injuries that he has were like hamstrings or quads. It was one of the two, or maybe even both, because I know they were split out during the season as well, because I actually had him on the 15-team main event team that I had in my middle infielder slot. So he's a guy that kind of played a little bit over his head last year. The power was a little bit of a surprise with 11 home runs. His walk rate was pretty much non-existent with 9 walks last year. So he should be a guy that gets you, you know, a decent average. He is hitting at the top of this lineup, which could benefit him with the power guys that we talked about behind him. Only produced one steal last year. So he's a guy that's probably like Devin Travis, maybe a little bit more power, like a 15-10 type of guy if you give him a full season worth of at-bats, which is decent enough for your middle infielder. And he will not tank your average, which is also nice for your middle infield slot.
Yeah, I think he's in middle with a little bit of power upside. I don't think the 281 that he finished with last year, he will really come even close to that, like you mentioned, with his lack of walk rate. And but I do kind of think the batting average isn't even really that safe. I mean, Steamer has him at 266, but I could just see with somebody that just doesn't have, has the approach that he has, doesn't take a walk, has almost no patience. There could be a two, like a 235, 240 batting average floor if he gets some, bad luck going his way this season. So yeah, Gurriel, somebody that is not, you're not currently, if you want him, you don't have to draft him to be your shortstop, which is nice. He's going currently as the 26th shortstop off the board, which is nice. It's nice that he does have short and second eligibility, but I'm just not, it's not getting me excited, and I don't really see where you're going to really return a major profit if you take Lourdes Gurriel. So we'll move over to third base, which is what we've all wanted to talk about, what everybody's talking about, and that's Brandon. Oh, wait, never mind. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Yes, Brandon Drury will most likely stand at third base for the first 2.5 weeks of the season until Vlad can come up and the Jays can gain that extra year of eligibility. It's, I mean, the prospect guys have been touting Vlad for over a year. We're not going to sit here and tell you anything that you haven't heard before about Vlad as a prospect. But what I'm curious about is, for redraft purposes, where do you have Vlad? Because it's just kind of all over the board. He probably, without sitting down and doing the math, of anybody going in the top 100, he probably has one of the wider ranges from their min pick to his max pick. Just since the start of December, there's been 33 drafts, and his min pick is 17 with a max pick of 60. That's a pretty wide range for anybody that's going that high. How high are you willing to jump on Vlad Jr. this year?
I haven't gotten any shares yet, and this kind of reminds me of, our podcast last year with Mike the Rotocop on the Dirt Dogs podcast with FWFB, when me, you, and Mike kind of hated on everyone that was drafting Acuna and Ohtani so high, just because you're not, you think you know, but then you don't. And that's kind of what we ran into last year. Every indication should have been that he should have been called up, but he never was. Even for just a little taste in the majors for September call-ups, whenever it doesn't affect his eligibility going into next season. But it didn't happen. So last year, Acuna was going between 80 and 120. And now you're telling me I have to pay a price for a second or third rounder? It's a little steep for me, and that's probably why I haven't gotten any shares of him. I just can't take that zero for 2.5 weeks, which could possibly be even longer. I mean, just imagine if he tweaks his hamstring to start off the year, and you have to wait even longer once he gets those rehab games in, and then they keep him in the minors because they don't want to rush him. And this team isn't very good, so there isn't really a reason to rush him to the top. Now, whenever you look at Acuna last year, the Braves did play a little bit over their head, but they kind of needed him whenever he did come up. So all that being said, he's not a guy that I'm looking for on my redraft radar. If he falls to where I'm comfortable, I really like my offense. I have a couple pitchers that I like, and I can afford the zero for now, then I'll take a shot, but he's not someone that I'm going to draft in the first round anytime.
Yeah, I don't think Vlad will get to the point. At least, I mean, God, at least I hope he doesn't get to when we're drafting in March. He's not a borderline first round pick, but Acuna didn't come up right exactly the first day that he could have come up last season. Acuna made his debut last season with the Braves on April 25th, which was a little later than what we expected, but it was still in the first month. You mentioned injury. Acuna had an injury where he missed, a good, pretty much all of June, and still ended up. Without having the numbers in front of me, I tried to pull up the player rater while you were talking. And of course, ESPN is currently doing site maintenance on baseball right now. I guess they don't think anyone would have a reason to look at baseball, their baseball site in June, which, or in January, sorry. I'm sure Acuna either turned a profit or came really close to breaking even with missing a month and coming up a little bit later than we expected. So I think I'm going to surprise you and say that I'm actually willing to take Vlad. I can't do that. I can't do pick 17. But I have no problem really taking him in the third round, if it gets to where it's, if it gets to that point. I mean, we've seen what this guy can do, throughout the minor leagues. He is a generational hitting prospect, and it's to the point now where we're really just, you got to get these guys before the breakout happens. And I think that's what's going to happen with Vlad this season.
Yeah, I could see that. It could be that we missed out on the Acuna hype last year, so we kind of want to make up for that this
Yeah, that
year,
could be it too. That could be it too.
but we didn't get to reap the rewards that we were bashing everybody about. But yeah, if he falls in like the fifth round, which probably towards draft season, he won't make it there. But I want to make sure I have an
Well,
established
yeah, well, his
core.
eight now, I mean, that I think that ship has probably kind of sailed. I mean, his ADP right now is pick 38. I mean, that's not in a 15 teamer, that's in the first half of the third round.
Yeah.
I think your fifth round ship has sailed. I think I'm willing to pay that price, in the third round. We've heard all the stories about how, Steamer hadn't projected to win the batting title until Daniel Murphy signed with Colorado. Anybody that follows Todd Zola on Twitter probably saw the tweet that he put out that Vlad literally broke his projection system that he's been using and honing and making as perfect as possible over years, and Vlad is the one that broke it. I'm willing to do it. I'm gonna try to. I don't have a share yet. I've done a couple of drafts and holds, and I did a best ball with you. I don't have him yet, but I'm really gonna try to get him at some point before draft season because I want to be on the train. I think this is gonna be fun. This is good for baseball. And let's hope the Blue Jays get him up just within the first month, and I think everybody will be fine, and he should at least, maybe he won't turn a profit, but I do think he can definitely help win leagues, and at least you'll get your money back with taking Vlad.
Yeah, I think he'll definitely help win leagues, just kind of like Acuna did as well. But whenever I look at the ADPs, especially even for his third base position, whenever you're telling me that Chris Bryant is going three picks ahead of him, and I've ended up with a lot of Chris Bryant just because I believe in the bounce back, and we've seen it before. We've seen an MVP and a Rookie of the Year. So if you're telling me I have the choice between KB and Vlad, I think I'm going to take KB for now. And
Yeah,
that's
but
probably why I'm not going to end
yeah,
up
and
with Vlad.
I think that's about where I draw the line. I mean, I would take pending position, obviously. I think I'll still probably take Rizzo over Vlad, but I'll take him. I'll probably take him over Starling Marte. I mean, the team construction there is a little different with Marte running, but I think I'm willing to pull the trigger over Rhys Hoskins. Just going with some of the hitters that are going around there. I'll take him over Oakland Chris Davis, Rendon, Bellinger. I'll sure as hell take him over Aldair Mondesi. So I'm really starting to, the more I look into this and the more I'm just seeing how drafts are going, I think I'm really buying into Vlad in the third round. I hope it doesn't get to where he's early second, because that still might be a little too rich. Still might be a little too rich for me. And if he's going to pick 17, fairly regularly come March, that's going to be a problem.
Yeah.
If he stays in the mid to late 30s, early 40s, I'm going to try to bounce on. We've definitely talked more about Vlad than we have any single player so far in the views. So let's touch on the Toronto outfield, which there's not a whole lot out there. There's some guys that aren't really going to excite anyone. Roster Resource currently has Kevin Pillar in center. That's going to stay there as long as he's healthy with the elite defense. But Pillar kind of is who he is at this point in his career. He's a nice, a little bit of a mini power speed combo. He can do in a pinch in a shallow mix if you've got some injuries. When he gets on a hot streak, or if you're really just trying to play for some steals in like a 15 teamer. He sh is usually on and off the waiver wire throughout the season. Randall Grichuk is currently scheduled to hit in right field. I don't like that. Somebody that's a big Teoscar Hernandez fan. I know Hernandez hasn't quite maybe hit the ceiling that many have projected, but he's definitely shown flashes. And if you're Toronto, outside of just trying to boost up Grichuk's playing time, and maybe you can get something in a trade, Grichuk is out of options. What benefit is there to playing Teoscar Hernandez every day over Randall Grichuk?
Yeah,
Sorry, I'm sorry, playing Grichuk every day over Teoscar.
yeah, I think you're just probably trying to boost his trade value, like you said. He has that awe of power, but it just hasn't facilitated enough to, be able to guarantee the right field job to start off the year. But these guys, Grichuk and Hernandez are the closest in ADP. They're going in about the 16th, 17th round in a 15 teamer. So that's fine for me. I'll probably, like you said, take Teoscar over Randall just because I really like Teoscar Hernandez. He provided a lot last year as far as power and speed and decent average as well. Pilar, like you said, fill in fourth outfielder on my team. It's kind of strange that they have Billy McKinney slated to start over Teoscar Hernandez. Billy McKinney is going cheap.
Yeah,
Basically undrafted.
I think that's a platoon thing. McKinney's the only left-handed outfielder projected to be on this roster. And maybe that's just a roster resource thing, and the Blue Jays look as Hernandez as a potential building piece. McKinney is interesting, but he's in his short major league sample hasn't been able to really hit lefties at all. So I really kind of think some kind of platoon between the three of them would work if you want to get McKinney in there. I know Teoscar is pretty dreadful defensively, so maybe that's where the lack of playing time is coming from. But I just think eventually, I mean, Toronto's got, they have, I mean, you and I were talking about it on the show. They are fourth in the division. That's where they're going to finish. They are not as bad as the Orioles, but they are not anywhere on the level of the Yankees and Red Sox. And then with some of the Rays or some of the moves the Rays have made this offseason, I don't even think they're in the ballpark for the Rays at this point. So they're looking towards the future. You'd think they'd like to see what Hernandez can do, and maybe he can play through some of his issues in the outfield. So let's move into the rotation here. There's not really too much here in the rotation either. There's a couple of guys that have been heartbreakers over the last few seasons for fantasy owners. First off is Marcus Stroman. As of this recording, he is still on the Blue Jays. I know there's been some trade rumors about him throughout the offseason. The big thing with Stroman last year was he had a shoulder injury in spring training, and he never recovered from it. If you drafted him and went and were trying to battle through it, hoping to turn it around, he sunk your team. The strikeouts have never really been there, but they dipped even further than they had in the past, and the walk rate went up. The ERA finished at 5.54. Are you going back in on Marcus Stroman as somebody that's going at a major discount, obviously? But are you still worried about the health, or do you think the bounce back is there? Or are you looking at a 3.94 FIP and a 4.04 Sierra and thinking that a bounce back is coming? Where are you at on Marcus Stroman?
Yeah, even though he's going in round 22, which is a major discount based off of his previous ADPs, I'm still not in on the Stroman train. I mean, the pitchers that I try and get on my team have some upside, and Stroman does not. He hasn't shown it. He's shown that he can be an innings hog until last year, but he doesn't have the strikeouts. He doesn't have a great whip. He walks a lot of guys as well. So he's not a guy that's going to give you a lot, and he doesn't even have the fallback for wins or quality starts most of the time. So even with the discount this year, I can't jump back in on Stroman.
Yeah, I mean, look, he's going to pick 330, which is you're not investing a lot. He's been drafted in every draft since December 1st. So there's at least he's being drafted, but there's a chance maybe he falls out of a draft or two. But if you just look at some of the pitchers that are going behind him, Brandon Woodruff, Zach Eflin, assuming there's a rotation spot there for him, Anibal Sanchez, Anthony Descalfani, who you and I talked about on the Reds preview, are all guys that I'm willing to take, that I'll take over Stroman. Even a little further down from that, Ryan Yarbrough, Michael Pineda, not Matt Harvey, so I will at least take Marcus over Matt Harvey. But I could see with health in the shoulder and some positive regression that's probably headed his way anyway, I could see Stroman finding his way back into mixed league radars, but I don't think he'll ever get back to where his value was when he first came up. And then he had the season where he missed most of the torn ACL. I don't think we're ever going to see those days again from Stroman. The walks have ticked up every year, even including, or even when you throw the injuries aside before last season. So, Stroman's just not somebody. He's going to be a roster filler, AL only. Maybe you can get a couple hot streaks out of him, but it's between the division, the parks. It's just not a. I won't be owning a lot of Marcus Stroman this year for those reasons, and plus some of the other specs that I like that are going around him. Also in this rotation, kind of in the same vein, struggled major with health. We all know about Aaron Sanchez's issues with blisters in the past and just flat out poor performance when he has supposedly been healthy. Is it still time to not give up on Aaron Sanchez? Where are you at on Aaron Sanchez? 26 years old as he enters the season.
I mean, we've seen the ceiling, I think, for Aaron Sanchez in 2016, but the past 2 years have just been riddled by injuries. So there's always that what if in the back of my mind, and probably in a lot of drafters' minds, like if he gets a full season, can we expect, probably not the same production in 2016 because it was borderline historic, with the 3 ERA, only, he had 161 strikeouts. It wasn't that great. 15 wins, but from a, what was he then, 23, 24-year-old, it was pretty great, and you got him for free. So if we can get, 70% of that at this price, I mean, right now he's going at about pick 390, which is pretty much the end of, I think that's the end of the 26th round,
Yeah, he's
27th
not
round.
even. Yeah, he's not even being drafted in the league so far.
Yeah, so he's a guy that, you know, you pick up off the waiver wire, you put on your watch list, you take as your last round pick, and you know, there's worse people to take, so, and there's worse flyers to have, and we've seen it before with this guy. So he's a guy that I might jump back in on, and there's no price associated, so you won't lose anything.
Yeah, I mean, there's some of the pitchers, like I said, he's even going behind Stroman and some of the guys that I mentioned when I was comparing Stroman. But if you're digging down here for starters, I'm more likely to take a stab on Sanchez if we're talking about Jake Odorizzi, Tanner Roark moving into Cincinnati, CC Sabathia, Tyler Anderson. I like Trevor Richards a little bit coming into the season, but he's really the only one that's kind of going into this range. Danny Salazar, Lance Lynn, Caleb Smith, I like a little bit. But I could see myself grabbing Aaron Sanchez if I'm in this range of pitchers. I just, with the injuries, I just don't, it's just not even worth messing with. And if he's healthy, you can pick him up, give him a start or two, see how things go. But if he's just not going to be healthy, plus the performance isn't going to be there when he is supposedly, we're to the point now where we should just probably just stop messing with Aaron Sanchez and just kind of wait. And, you know, if Aaron Sanchez beats me, Aaron Sanchez is going to beat me. But I'll let somebody else take that chance.
See, but the only other thing that I have is in that range, those guys that you named off, who has a better upside than Aaron Sanchez?
I can see Trevor Richards, but you're right. I mean, yeah, if you're digging down that deep, then you're really and you just want an upside play, and you know after two starts that spot is probably going to be gone anyway. You're going to stream it for a two start guy or whatever the flavor of the week is. That's fine. You know, Aaron Sanchez has a chance to be that flavor of the week anyway, just kind of between his age and everything and his past. So yeah, I can see that. But for the most part, the guys down there, you're right, aren't very sexy for a fantasy owner. Yeah, the rest of this rotation is filled up by Ram Barucki, who was a little bit interesting when he came up last year. Matt Shoemaker was just signed. Shoemaker, somebody that's had some real success, but his injury issues are well documented. This is a 1 year deal for him to try to see if they can, you know, either get him right and flip him, or maybe he's somebody that sticks with him for a couple of years as they continue this kind of retooling that they're in the middle of. Clayton Richard coming over from San Diego into the AL East is just awful. I mean, it is not going to go well. I mean, he's got to go face the Yankees, the Red Sox. You know, the Jays have a good lineup, and you know, my Orioles have a terrible lineup. But I can't. Clayton Richard pitching in Camden Yards is not something I'm willing to take a chance on, even if you're playing like a contrarian DFS play, because it's just I don't see him sticking around with Toronto very long.
You are listening to the Friends of Fantasy Benefits Baseball Podcast. All preseason long, we'll be bringing you the most in-depth analysis to get you ready for your drafts. There will be 30 team previews with 30 prospect previews during the month of January. That's 60 podcasts in 30 days. Then, we will be dropping almost daily pods until the start of the season. You can also get your 2019 draft guide called The Fantasy Benefit in ebook and paperback on Amazon.com. Or if you prefer, you can get it via email in PDF form. It has over 250 pages of analysis, player profiles, ranks, strategy guides, and prospect information for cheaper than the magazine you get in the store. Plus, we'll be updating both PDF and ebook all the way until draft season is over for any changes that happen in the landscape of fantasy baseball. Stay tuned all preseason long to Friends of Fantasy Benefits so you can be ahead of the curve.
You know, past that, there's a couple of guys that are a little bit interesting. Sean Reed Foley got some big strikeout stuff. He showed that a little bit when he came up in the second half last season. Control is a big issue with him. If he can, I could see them trying to keep him down and get a little bit more season and start. That could be why they brought on Richard. But between the injuries with Sanchez and with Shoemaker, he could be up very quickly. Somebody you're not investing in draft day, but throw him on your watch list. You know, maybe take a stab in a dynasty league if he's out there for free. Thomas Pannone as well is in the, he's on the 40 man. It's a, you know, kind of a soft tossing lefty. Soft tossing lefty. I'm not really seeing anything there that I'm going for. Any of these guys doing anything for you, Colin?
I kind of like Ryan Barucki. You know, last year he had a few starts, you know, up against Boston, against the guys in his division where he didn't look overmatched. Granted, he didn't do great, but he was a perfectly fine streamer. So he's a guy that I'm going to be looking for As far as, you know, a streamer week to week, if he's a two-start pitcher week to week, he's a guy that I'll kind of circle and kind of just keep track of his matchups. And then, like you said, the other guys are just fillers, Shoemaker, Richard. They have the chance to be streamers for me, but I'm not going out of my way to draft them. Shoemaker has a little bit of upside, but like you said, Richard doesn't have very much. And Reed Foley, he needs to stay in the zone. Right now, his strikeouts are basically just because guys are swinging outside the zone because he cannot stay in the zone at all. So until he does that in a dynasty league, yeah, I guess so. But in a redraft, I really don't have, you know, I don't really have a reason to draft him.
Yeah, no, I can see that. And Baruch, he's somebody that he's, you know, he did a good job of keeping the ball in the park last year, but the strikeouts are almost non-existent for him. I could see him struggling to keep the ballpark. Keeping the ball in the ballpark at that rate again here in 2019, like I said, I mentioned with the division in the parks, he's going to have to pitch in. In the bullpen, Ken Giles is somebody that I thought would maybe go at a little bit of a discount this year with kind of a disaster that was last year. People were taking him in the top 10, 12 closers. He was going, you know, in about the, I think we looked up before the show started, he was going roughly the eighth round in TGFBI last year. And the discount is just, it's really not there coming into the season. I mean, Toronto isn't even projected to be near as good of a team as Houston was last year. Are people buying back into Ken Giles because he was a little bit more like his old self after the trade last season? Or is this just a result of not a lot of closers with set jobs this early in draft season? Where are you at on Ken Giles?
I think it's the latter. Looking at the ADPs, he's at like the end of the tier. So looking at, you know, the ADP for relief pitchers, you see Ken Giles there at about pick 130. Right before him is Kirby Yates and Wade Davis. So then I look after him and I see like Corey Knebel and Sir Anthony Dominguez. So guys that kind of come into the season with a question mark. So he's at the end of the tier of like, you know, I think he's the 15th reliever coming off the board. So half the teams kind of have an established closer right now. So I think that's more of the reason why he's still going in the same range. He seems to have this role on lockdown, although Ryan Tepera behind him has some closing experience from last year as well. Other than that, in this bullpen, it isn't really much, so he doesn't really have the competition that he had in Houston, which we were worried about coming into draft season last year. So that's kind of the effect of, you know, his same round ADP this year.
Yeah, I think that you're right. I think it does have a lot to do with it. In fact, it's still early. If you're drafting Giles and if you're drafting this early, you know Giles has the job. And the skills are not, you know, they're never going to quite be, I think, what we were hoping for, and maybe even what Houston was hoping for when they made that trade. But he's still pretty interesting, you know, assuming he keeps that job all season. Anything else in this bullpen? Like you said, you touched on Tepera. Joe Biagini's always been kind of like interesting from a skills wise, but he's just never been able to put it all together and has been pretty brutal at different stretches. So that ship just may never end up coming into port for the Joe Biagini believers that are out there. He's probably best suited for the bullpen. Maybe he can end up being a starter at some point. The Blue Jays would have, you know, they have, you know, every reason in the world to see if he can be a starter, but Joe Biagini is not being drafted in anything. I don't even think he's being drafted nail only or even should be. So anything else for the Toronto Blue Jays this season outside of Vlad Jr., who we spent, I think, half the podcast talking about?
Well, his soon-to-be backup we didn't really touch on in Brandon Drury. So, you know, he has the chance to play all over the infield, and Devin Travis and Lourdes Gurriel have not shown the track record of health. Neither is Brandon Drury, for instance. But
yeah,
if he does stay healthy, if he does lose his job to Vlad eventually, he's interesting as a corner and middle infielder in a 15-team league, especially to start off the season. Like if I were to draft Vlad, I would make sure I try and draft Drury or somebody else that can, you know, play while Vlad isn't playing. But other than that, I mean, we've kind of touched on the only guy that you want to draft in the top half of the draft, and everybody else are just kind of fillers.
Yeah, no, that was a good call on Drury. He's somebody that could easily, like I said, between the injury history with Devin Travis and Lourdes Gurriel, and then even like guys like Morales, if he could end up getting some at-bats at first base or DH, there's definite path of playing time for Drury, even once Vlad gets caught up, if he's hitting. We've seen him produce in Arizona before. So that's a good call. Drury's somebody that maybe don't ignore as soon as, you know, as soon as Vlad gets caught up, just ignore him and not, you know, and take him off your watch list, or just keep Drury in your back of your mind as the season goes along. That's a good call by you. So, all right, Colin, we've wrapped up another one. Thank you, everybody, for listening. For Colin Weatherwax, I'm Randy Haynes. Have a good day.